We're going to start with a word that Trevor shared with us actually the other day about this being a house of God and that wanting the church. It's a word that I believe you've had before, the church known as a place where people go, God is in that place, like Bethel. You know, Bethel is the place, God is in that place. And I was really encouraged by that word, and then I started to think, and I think this is a word for us actually. So I'm giving you a word before I give you the word. Does that make sense? I'm giving you what I think is a prophetic word. You see many revivals over centuries where God's presence had come and dwelt with people, and literally in the streets people turn to God because there's an outpouring of the Spirit in a way that no one's ever seen before. You know, we've heard about it in Wales, there was a revival in the Orkney Islands. I've read about revivals in Argentina and various places in the world where God has come and miraculous things happen, amazing things happen. But often we see a change towards the end of that. I don't know why, but sometimes those things seem to kind of close down or end, or not end. God obviously brings something through them. But I wonder what would happen if that just continued. Do you know what I mean? I mean, ultimately, God wants his people to be with him always. But what stops him? Maybe we get comfortable. Maybe we lose our passion, our desire. Maybe sometimes we glory in people rather than in God. So in other words, there's a certain person that brings the revival, or a certain church that has brought God's presence. And maybe God, I think this is maybe the word, God is looking for people who want to tabernacle. The tabernacle was the place that the Jewish people carried around with them that was the significance of the presence of God. They would go and seek him there, you know, and there was a pillar of fire by day and fire by night and cloud by day, and whenever that moved, they followed, and it rested over the tabernacle. And maybe God this morning is saying, I'm looking for a people. I'm looking for a people who will not allow themselves to become comfortable, will always want more of me. Maybe I'm looking for a people who will be ready to not allow themselves to be glorified, but only God. You know? And so maybe that is the word that God is sharing for us today. And as I was sharing, maybe God is talking to us about stepping out, like that video we saw, taking that step into this new land, this new phase. And we're going to look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. But before we do that, I want to say to you, I'm so grateful for you. You know, God brought us back from Brazil. He brought us here. And I can only say God is in it. Yes? God has blessed us through you more than we bless you, I believe. And so I'm so grateful for each one of you, each thing any of you do, whether it's setting up here, doing stuff in 83A, leading worship, doing Sunday school, all those things that happen to make this church, you are all vital and you are appreciated. I'm grateful for you and I'm grateful to have come back here. It's been a huge blessing. So thank you. I'm saying that to you. And as we do that, I want us to look at, there's a slide with a vision, the mission, I believe it is, that Tim showed you. And I just want to say to you, I've looked at these things, and I think we've got great mission and vision and great foundations that we just need to build upon and move forward with. God is going to do stuff through us. These things are good. And so this is just a reminder, our vision is to enable people and communities in Huntingdonshire to thrive through the power of God's outrageous love in action. That's a great statement, isn't it? Really good. And our mission, building strong, vibrant, healthy church, sharing the good news of Jesus, raising up leaders that will transform the worlds around us, believing we're people with influence. And that influence comes because of God's presence and his Spirit in us, doesn't it? So those things are great, and we build on them. And then if we go into my presentation now, I've put the four kind of pillars, if you like, that are our foundation. And when I was in the school, we had three pillars that made the school. We were intentionally international. This is a school I taught in Rio. Intentionally international, purposefully academic, and deliberately Christian. And I would find that often, if I reminded people in the school that that was the foundation, we'd get back on track. Because sometimes people would get sidetracked with different things. And these are our four things. I think if we can get those in our heads and say, well, is what we're doing Jesus-centered? Are we relationally connected through this? Is it community-focused? Are lives being transformed? Those four things, try and remember them and have them. Look, what's our church doing? These are our four things. So I'm saying to you, this year, I'm not going to start by saying, this is the vision and this is what we're going to step into. As yet, we're going to carry on. But as we move forward, the foundations we have are great, aren't they? Amen? So we're going to look now at the word, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Many of you will know this well, and I think it's a really good scripture to help us kick off into the new year. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. Amen. What a great word. I'm not going to say more, just take that word. No, it's a great word, isn't it? I hope it's encouraging. Just hearing that, you know, is a great word, and I love to read it. And as I was looking at this, I was thinking about the stages of our lives, personally. We go through stages, you know. I look back now, you know, I'm 50 now, starting to look back, be a bit more reflective on the things that have happened. And each stage of your life, God guides you through things. Sometimes you're close with God, sometimes you're distant. Sometimes you're obedient, sometimes you've been disobedient and you know you have to get back on track. Sometimes we suffer loss or sickness and we come through, or we have to grieve, and all those things in our lives that happen. And we go through those stages. And Israel as a nation went through stages, didn't they? And I think when we look at them, we can learn from that. They were taken into Egypt, weren't they, with Joshua. And when they went in, they were blessed. But then gradually over the years, they became slaves, didn't they? And so there was that period where they were under oppression, you know. And then God brought them out through Moses, didn't he? Okay, and sometimes life can feel like we're in an oppression, we're in a difficult moment, we're going through it. And then we come to that place where God brings us freedom and we step across the Red Sea, wasn't it? And they come to the new land, they come to the wilderness, sorry. And then sometimes we wander around in the wilderness, not sure where God is taking us, but knowing that he's guiding us, yes? And so the people of Israel went through that. And as Moses led them, they were provided for, weren't they? Manna from heaven, all those things. And then eventually we come to Joshua now, who then is given the task of leading them across the Jordan and into the promised land. And we can sometimes feel like now is the moment we're going into the promised land, new things to come, and what a great blessing and amazing thing. And so we can look at these stories and we can see there's like ups and downs and different directions, and God was forming a people, wasn't he? And today, his church is the vehicle on earth for Jesus Christ, isn't it? You know, since we look back on this in the light of Jesus, we always read the New Old Testament in the light of Jesus now, and we know that his body has been through those kind of ups and downs and paths. You know, God is forming his church, and God has formed HCC. And we can learn a lot from this, can't we? And so, I've called this kind of talk today, Step In. We want to step into the promised land. I think maybe we're at this moment where God is saying there is a promised land, there is something new, there's something exciting to step into, and so this year, let's step into it. And what does that mean? Well, let's go back to the scripture and read verse 3. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. In other words, God was going to give land. Now, let's give you some context first of that. Joshua and Caleb had been spies for the people of Israel. Okay, many years before, Moses sent 10, I think it was, into the land, and they went and spied it out. And they came back, and all the other men were like, "We are like grasshoppers to them. They are giants. We cannot go in." But Joshua and Caleb said, "No, we can go in. We can take this land." But because of the report of the other men, they all went, "No." Israel went, "No, we're going to stay here. We're going to stay in the wilderness." And then they continued wandering in the wilderness because of that. But Joshua and Caleb were the guys who had the faith and the belief that they would go in. But then they had to wait. They'd seen the promised land. They'd thought, "We can do it." They believed it, but it never happened at that moment. And now we come to that point where Moses has died and Joshua has taken over. And of course, Joshua had been Moses' aide, so he'd been watching him, he'd been learning from him. And he was the one now who was going to take them in. And so he was going to take them into that place that said, "Wherever you put your feet, that will be their land." Now, just think about this. I don't know, if you think of the promised land, do you think it's going to be something nice? You know, "I'm going to go to the promised land, I'm going to sit on the beach, I'm going to drink, I'm going to enjoy the sun. This is the land flowing with milk and honey," they said in the Bible, didn't they? "Flowing with milk and honey, everything will be provided for you." However, was it a time to relax, do you think? A time to sit back? No, it was not. There were 7 other nations in that nation, and there were countless kings, and they had to battle and take the ground before they could go in. Now, that was not going to be easy, and that's the same for us. When we have a promise, when we have a promised land, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to step in and go, "Oh, I'm there, I can sit down and relax now, thank you God, it's all great." There will be contests, there will be battles. The first thing they faced when they went in was the city of Jericho, wasn't it? And they had to face that. Now, just a side note here, because I feel it's important to say this, it seems harsh now when we look at what happened with the people of Israel going into a land, dispossessing it. You know, when we look at that and we understand Jesus, we go, "Well, why?" And there is an element of which we can say, well, we don't understand God's ways perfectly, we have to trust him. But also, we understand that a lot of those people were worshipping false gods and doing some terrible things in the names of those gods. Like, there was child sacrifice, there were shrine prostitutes, all kinds of things that were wrong. And God was wanting to show at that time that these things weren't right. But we do look back on these things in the light of Jesus now, and we would never go, "Let's go do those kind of things." So, but God, we can learn from this. God calls us to step into our promised land, okay? And you will face, you know, you will face obstacles, okay? Things that will come in your way. My story is this, okay? God called me to Brazil in the year 2000, okay? And me and my wife at the time, and it was like 15 years before we went, okay? And along the way, we sat down with people in our organisation at the time who would say to us, "Learn the language and then we'll send you." And then we started to do that, and then another leader came along and said, "You might as well give up on that. We're going to be sending you. We need you here." And things like that over those years. And then in 2014, we got a phone call saying, "Is there any reason you could not go?" And so, well, yes, we've been waiting all this time. We'll go. And then we faced medical issues for Sherry, and we faced visa issues. And so we didn't get there till 2015. So it was a battle. And then we arrived, and I'm like, "This is the promised land. We're here. Praise God." But of course, then I faced the battle. Within the first 3 months, bang! It was like the enemy hit us with some stuff I never saw coming. However, you know, I went through that time. It was difficult. When I look back now, I wouldn't have changed. Well, there are certain things I would change, but God taught me stuff through, and I believe it was a promised land. It was things that God was teaching me and using me in that time. Okay? And so what I'm saying is, sometimes when you step in, you might not see the unexpected, like last week. We might not see what is coming, but God has purpose in it, and God is giving us a promised land where he will provide, where he will do new things, where we will see miracles and amazing things happen. But it might not be as straightforward as we look. And so my question on this first point is, what is God asking you to step into? What is the new ground he's asking you to take? What is the thing he's saying to you this year, okay? And I have a few other questions with that. Are you willing to step in? Or are you too comfortable? You know, are you too comfortable in the place you were going to go? Okay? And what was the other question I put here? Do you believe you can overcome the giants? Again, the other guys who went into the promised land saw giants and said, poof, those giants are too big, we can't do it. Caleb and Joshua said we can overcome. Can you face those giants that maybe you need to overcome? Okay, so that's first point. Second point is this. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So, let's learn from the past and move into the future. Let's look at verse 6, okay? Verse 6 says this. Verse 5, sorry, I've put that up there wrong. It's up there, look. No one will be able to stand against you. You like the comedy value of some of the things I do, don't you? No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So Moses had been an amazing leader. In fact, the people were used to him. And, okay, he was considered one of the most significant leaders of the history of the Jewish people. He had led them out of Egypt. You know, they crossed the sea. They'd done incredible things. God had given him the law and established them in so many ways. Yeah, and here's Joshua. Okay, now then, you lead these people. Is that pressure? I think it's a little bit of pressure, isn't it? The pressure was applied. And so Joshua was now put in that place. He could look back. Okay, he was Moses' assistant. And he could look back and learn from the lessons that Moses had taught him. But this was a new time and a different place, wasn't it? Okay, as they stepped in, it was different. So for instance, they were going to cross the sea, cross the river, but they had to do it differently from how Moses had done it, didn't they? He said, take the Ark of the Covenant, and those men step into the river, and then you pass on. It was different. And when they entered the promised land, something changed. Because when they were in the wilderness, God provided. He gave them manna, didn't he? He gave them, he sent, I've forgotten the birds that he sent. He sent quail. Went from my mind. So he sent those things to them. When they stepped into the promised land, you're going to have to find your provision. Okay, because this is the land flowing with milk and honey. There is provision there, but it's not just going to come from heaven in the way it has in the wilderness. Things were going to change. It was a new context, okay? So he had to look back at the lessons in the past, and if we don't, we're foolish. We do have to learn from the past, but we have to step into the new context of what God is doing now. And that's what Joshua had to do as he led these people, the new context. What is God doing? What is he saying? How will he lead us, okay? What is our current situation? And so this is my question here, again, for you. I remember a teacher at my college when I was training to be a Salvation Army pastor back in the day. He used to say, how did Jesus teach? He told stories and asked questions. I like to ask questions to challenge you, to say, okay, what do you think? How is this going to apply to your life? And here's my question. What change is God calling to you to? What is the new context? He's saying, okay, you've done that, that's ended. What is the new thing now? What is the context you're living in now? And how are you going to go into that? And have you let go of the past? Have you said, okay, that was good? Or do you look, I mean, I remember being in churches and listening to people saying, oh, do you remember the days when so-and-so was here and that happened? Oh, those were the good old days. And people used to look often with rose-tinted glasses. They don't remember the difficulties sometimes of things that have happened. And we need to live in the context of now. Yes, we look back and we go, those things were good. And then the difficult things, we say to God, God, I give you the broken places. I give you the hurt and I ask you to heal it. And I leave it with you, and I pray that I learn the lessons, and I want to move forward, yeah? Because if we don't, we get stuck, don't we? How often have we got stuck in the past? We can't be stuck, we can only move forward, okay? God wants us to move forward into what he's doing. So what are the changes God's calling to you to? And are there things he's saying, let go of? And then the final point I'm going to give you this morning, let's just keep on time, we're doing all right. Final point is this, be obedient. Be obedient to what God is saying, okay? And this scripture is great. So many, I mean, go and read this again, because I'm giving you little points from it. But there's so much in this scripture that you can learn from, and these stories. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. What a great scripture that is. God makes it clear here the importance of his law. Okay, he gave the Ten Commandments. We're going to look at covenant in the next few months, and we're going to do a series. I think I've decided we're going to call it Certainty in an Uncertain World. Certainty in an uncertain world. Because God made a promise, even back to Adam, that followed through to Noah, Abraham, and so on. And we're going to look at how that story unfolded until Jesus came. Okay, and it was a promise right from the beginning of the Bible that he would redeem his creation, he would redeem his people, and there is salvation. Okay, and so we're going to look at that, all right? And I'm telling you that because God shows here the importance of his word and his law. And Jesus, when he was here, he said, I haven't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. In other words, all that went before was a lead up to his coming. Everything in the Old Testament, the prophecy of who he would be, and the covenant was leading to Jesus Christ, okay? And so we know that God is sure in his promise, and we know that we need to obey those laws. There are blessings when we follow God's word. If you don't read the Bible, start reading it, because it is your book that God can use to give you guidance, to speak to you in a moment you need it. You know, many people say, I don't believe in Jesus, but maybe because of this, because of the other. And I say, well, have you ever read the Bible? No, I haven't read the Bible. Well, how can you make that decision until you've actually looked at it and tested those claims for yourself? You know, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. You know, it speaks to us. It speaks to our heart. So go to the Word. Read the Word. It's our guide, okay? It's vital. It's the law and standards of God. And we need to pray. As you read the Word, pray. God, speak to me. Give me your spirit that I may see, that I may understand. So as you read the Word of God, let it speak to you, okay? The other side of it is, we may fail. And this was the story of the people of Israel. They didn't obey the law and things went wrong and they came under a curse. And the story is that Jesus died so we wouldn't be under that. So when we do fail, we can go to Jesus and know there's forgiveness and cleansing of sin, yes? That's the New Testament story. And we need to know that. So if we do fail, but we want to have a heart to be obedient to the standards and laws of God, amen? Yeah, and then there's the other side of obeying God. So we want to follow God's law, but we also want to seek his purpose. Okay, so we want to be obedient to what God is saying in his guidance of where we should go, how we should do things, and why we should do them. Yes, and God does speak to us. He speaks to us through all his word. He speaks to us through leaders. He speaks to us through worship. He speaks to us through creation. We can do a whole teaching on how God guides us. That's another time. But we need to be obedient to what God's saying. I think, unfortunately, what's happened many times in church, and I've been guilty of this, I'm going to go, God, I'm doing this, bless it. This is what I'm doing, make it right. Whereas God's way is really, I want to tell you, you listen and follow. What did Jesus say? Follow me. Yeah? Follow me. He didn't say, you walk and I'll follow you and help you. He said, follow me. And so it's so important that we get hold of what is it God's saying to us as a church, as individuals, okay? Where is it he wants me? What is his purpose for my life? The more I reflect back on my life, learning the lessons of the past again, looking at that, the big thing that's kept me on track is knowing God has a purpose. God has a purpose. Every one of you in this room, we're going to look around, every one of you has purpose. Okay, God made you, he prepared good works in advance for you to do, and he wants you to fulfill that. He won't be angry if you don't, as long as you come back to him, but he wants you to fulfill it. And he has great things that you can do, actually, in a way only you can do it that's unique to you. Yeah? Okay, some of us go, oh, well, that person, we tend to compare ourselves, don't we? Sorry, I'm going off here, but we tend to compare ourselves. Don't compare yourself. You are unique. You are wonderfully made, and God has purpose for you as an individual. Don't look at other people. So, God's word is your guide. God has a purpose. So my question here is, are you following him? Are you being obedient to his word? What is his plan for your life? So we're coming to an end here. Conclusion. Let's go to the final slide here. Time to reflect. Here are some questions for you. And I'm going to go, I think we should do like a prophetic act to finish this morning. I'm going to explain that in a minute. What is the ground that God is calling you to step into? What is the thing God is saying this year, I want you to step into that? Maybe this morning you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus. Jesus died for you on the cross that you might be forgiven. That you might give all of that stuff, your pain, your past to him and have a living relationship with him. So if you don't know about that this morning and you want that, speak to us. That might be a step you need to take this morning. The other side of it is maybe God is calling you into a new area of ministry or a new thing in your life that he wants you to do. Have I learned from the past? Have I looked back at the past and gone, that was a good lesson, what did I learn from it? Or are there things as well you need to give God and say, I don't want to be stuck there anymore, I want to let go of that. And then are you looking to what are the things you can change? What are the new things? Are you ready for the new things God's going to do? And finally, are you seeking to follow God's word and his plan for your life? Because that is the best place to be. And I'm going to finish with the word, okay? Because it's got the best thing. Have I not, I mean, at the end of this scripture, so he's given all these things that we've already mentioned, and as if to reiterate, and this was a word we got in prayer, Jane shared it, someone else shared it, this year God's calling us to be bold, to step into things that maybe we haven't stepped into. So this is the scripture. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's step in this year. And let's go into those things that God's called us. I'm going to ask the worship band back. And we're going to sing a song called Guardian, actually, which is about God guarding us on our way and leading us. And I think as we sing this song, I'm just going to challenge you this morning to, wherever you are, move to a different place. However you want to do that, it's your moment to step in. So if you're not coming, you can come and stand up front and lift if you want. Or you can just stand to the left so you're in a different place. Or you can go around the back or to the side of your chair. What I'm saying is, as we sing, move into your stepping in. Wherever you put your foot, that is your ground. So I want you to do that as an action as we sing in some way. If you feel to. If you don't feel to, you don't have to. No pressure. It's just an opportunity to kind of respond, God, I'm stepping in. In this new year, in 2025, I'm stepping in. I'm stepping into what God has for me. So let's just sing this song. And as we do that, make your kind of prophetic thing. Let's stand and you make that step in whatever way you want to do it. However you feel to do it, let's do it. Steps. So let's pray. Father God, as we step out into 2025, as we step in to what you have for us, Lord, would you just fill us with your Holy Spirit? Would you give us the power of God to do what you're asking us to do? Because without you it's impossible, but with you all things are possible. And so we pray that by the Spirit of God we would do stuff that we didn't expect. We would do things, we would see things happening, we'd see things coming to pass that no one ever thought of. And so, Lord God, we want to go in and take the ground together. I pray that you unite us as a church, that we would be one as we step into this ground, Lord God, because, Lord, we need to fight together to take that ground. Lord, we pray that you help us overcome the obstacles that might be there. We pray that those things that we need to let go of, anyone this morning who's let go of something, may it be done, Lord Jesus, and may they now know that the assurance of your Spirit saying that is done, and you are free, and you can walk forward in Jesus' name. And so, Lord God, we give you this coming year, we give you our lives again, and we pray that as we walk forward now, we will step into that promised land. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
2 Corinthians 3, now all the promises of God in him are yes
and amen. God is a God who always, always fulfills his promises. May not be how we reckon it, but it's how he reckons it, and he never, ever, ever fails.
Amen. Great. We're going to finish up there. I'm going to read you a scripture to send you out. And then if we sing, as you leave, we'll sing the blessing maybe as we finish. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. As you leave, that is a great scripture to take with you. We'll sing another song. Welcome to stay and sing. But if you need to go, you can leave now. And so God bless you and have a great week.